This would have been August 15th, 2001. They staged seven vehicles about a quarter of a mile from my home, and my neighbors saw all these law enforcement vehicles, big SUVs, out on the road, and called us because they weren't sure what was going on. And I then had my suspicions that they were coming for me. We dispatched our daughter off to school that morning, college, and they basically waited for me to leave my premises to go to work at my job. And I did, which was good because it drew them away from our house. They apprehended me on our road and proceeded to search my vehicle, search my person, put me in handcuffs, and take me back to my house to execute a search warrant against my house and against the series of commercial buildings, or the commercial building that my store had formerly been in, which at the time was now closed and had been. They tore my house apart. They confined my wife to the kitchen table for 4.5 hours. They told her she'd better convince me to play ball and tell them all the information that I knew about the illegal stuff that was going on at gun shows. That was what they wanted to know. They wanted to come down on gun shows in Florida. The problem was, having been doing them for the previous 13 years in Florida, I had always been the guy who was Johnny on the spot to see something wrong and go immediately to the most local law enforcement officer I could find and provide him with an arrest, compliments of that which had been said or that which had been done, which I had seen or heard. I had a track record throughout the state of being Mr. Clean Nose, who pays attention and reports the things that are wrong.
And for our listener that just checked in, you told me earlier that this whole series of this guy coming up to you and kind of doing some strange things and basically setting you up for a fall to get you to trip over a threshold that you weren't, you know, I mean, you had no criminal intent. You're trying to do your best to obey the law under what you reasonably understood was going on. They had received from you a report, the BATF or whoever it was you talked to, about somebody was acting criminally and they wouldn't do anything about it when the person was eventually prosecuted for what you had told them many times before they needed to take care of. You made comments after that happened, after they had failed to fulfill their duties, that you were basically deriding them, that organization, showing your contempt for their lack of being willing to do what their job is. And then, of course, the next thing you know, you're being set up. Now, that's something that our current listeners have not heard. I'm David Allen Carmichael, broadcasting on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking to Mick, who's interested in making sure that those who have done something wrong when they were young and stupid, or had somebody come up and set them up so that they could find a mechanism to get them violating a technicality of an administration of an artificial wrong, a positive law wrong that wouldn't naturally be a wrong. And if they've been set up like this and done their time for the crime, that they should not be in a situation they are forever stripped of their privileges and immunities of a natural man and an American. And that's Mick's concern, and that's why we're talking about it here. I said something earlier about the Bible's instructions that shows, because of the transgression of the land, many are its princes. And I say the fact that we see an increase in bureaucracy is directly proportional to our depravity. And folks, and that's the purpose of this Faith and Freedom show, where we're going to push reset on your mindset, that you would not be distracted by the stupor of the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping our nation. So folks, we're going to hear Mick's story. He was invaded by this federal agency. It came in and disrupted his life and his property. And they had planned to do this all along. They come in like, what do they call it? Like the stormtroopers in Star Wars, you know?
That's booted thugs, they call them.
And that's not really necessary. You know, and that's the interesting thing about this case in Montana. This guy was afraid to even engage in business because of the history of these organizations coming in the Ruby Ridge incident. they set the guy up. What was found out in the court eventually is that they had a guy like the guy you're talking about who came up and asked this guy.
His wife was named Sarah.
Right. Randy Weaver was asked. He was a nice, peace-loving guy. Some guy came up and asked him if he could change his shot. Could you shorten my barrel for me? He's like, yeah, you can do it yourself. You know, obey, you know, go figure out the instructions. For whatever it is, he talked to him. Now, Randy Weaver's just a guy. He doesn't know all this stuff.
Now, you need to remember, they wanted Randy Weaver to inform on the Aryan Nations, and
okay.
He refused to do so.
Right.
That was the reason they entrapped him.
So we're going to make you pay. And so what they ended up doing, they came on his property. Long story short, they ended up shooting his son. They shot his wife. I believe his baby died, too, when they shot his wife. It's a long story. You don't want to get into details. But you know what? That's not what we need to do. If you literally need to enforce a law, there's a mechanism to do it, especially with peace-loving people. So there is a concern. Mick's got a definite concern. Now, Mick, you went into the details of the – we don't necessarily need to go to the details of the trial and everything because we're limited in time.
I'm guilty of.
But you were found guilty of one count. At the same time, you were found not guilty of another count, and the facts and circumstances were identical. There was a different time and place, but identical situation, identical things. And it tell us what your punishment was.
I received, for the first time in the history of the statute with anyone being found guilty of it, 3 years probation, the first 9 months of which were house arrest or home confinement.
In this home confinement, were you absolutely restricted to home, or could you go to work?
No. I could go to church. I could go to the grocery store. I could go to the doctors. I could go to work.
But other than that, you couldn't go out to Applebee's or something?
No.
Okay. So there was restrictions on you.
Okay.
So they made you pay, and the, you know, they didn't get anything out of it, did they? Except for a little bit of sick satisfaction.
I received no financial fine whatsoever.
And to this day and forever, you won't be able to vote in Florida?
Well, actually, after having civil rights restored, you can vote in Florida. However, you can never own a firearm.
Which is something that your concern is. It's not a violent offense. You can never own a firearm. Does that mean you can't possess one? Does that mean there can't be one in the same building you live in?
You cannot own or possess firearms or ammunition. As one of the functions of your penalties for the balance of your life for every federally convicted felon, and that includes 66,000 plus now federal felonies.
What about a broadsword?
Yes, most definitely.
You could have a broadsword in your house.
I can have a fully automatic crossbow that shoots 27 bolts in a row if I so chose.
But not a firearm.
Correct.
Okay. So what are you doing right now? And this is a very good interest to our listeners. What are you doing right now? Is your civic duty, as you're just loving your neighbor as yourself and you're concerned in this situation as an American and a Floridian? What are you doing to try to correct some of these issues? And well, before I go there, you've got information about, you said, well, if the president of the United States, because it was federal offense, federal trial, and all that kind of stuff, the president of the United States himself would have to pardon you in this situation.
That's correct. That is the only remedy to my bar from being able to own firearms.
Hmm. So what are you doing to correct this situation? What kind of actions are you taking, folks you're talking to?
I have spoken with several attorneys, one of them being my former defense attorney, who was amazed that I was convicted on even the one count from the outset. He was convinced that it was what they call a compromise verdict because a few people on the jury obviously felt I was guilty, and they weren't going to be persuaded. So on one count, they found me not guilty, and on a second count, they found me guilty. And ironically, they probably thought they were doing me a favor because the count they found me guilty on only involved one firearm rather than two. Nevertheless, you're still barred for life from the natural right to self-defense. In fact, I and my wife lived in an extremely remote location in the state of Florida at the time, in a county that still only has 8,000 people in it, in the whole county. It was very rural. It was very agricultural. We had a horse farm, and we needed to have firearms to be able to continue to safely live there. So we had to move.
So what are you doing besides talking to lawyers? Are you approaching the legislature? Is there a civic activist group that you're talking to?
I started dealing more with consequence than current pursuits because the 3 years of federal probation expired long ago. I'm attempting to pursue a federal civil rights case because I believe in both it being a civil and natural right to self-defense that human beings in America as citizens should be allowed to protect themselves. In this case, in our modern day and time, against the criminals that are out there and the critters that roam our woods in the appropriate places, you need a firearm to have an equal ability to defense of self and others that you care about and care to protect, as well as your property.
And that's a reasonable evidentiary issue, knowing the issues about the crossbow and stuff like that, so we can talk about that. Now, what about this? What are the Florida statutes regarding your ability to serve in the Florida militia in spite of your status as a federal felon?
I don't know.
And I would think if there was some mechanism in Florida law that would enable you to serve or be required to register as a militia, then I would think that Second Amendment protection would certainly weigh in.
As long as I stayed in the state of Florida.
Yes. That's something to think about. Well, and it is there. Okay, that's good. So you're thinking about this idea of a suit. And the difficult thing about a suit like that is you actually have to have all kinds of things weigh in. Have you read the Heller versus District of Columbia decision from the Federal Circuit Court?
I have, as well as McDonald.
Okay. Now, when you were looking at Heller and specifically, you noticed there was three plaintiffs and two of them didn't have standing, but Heller had standing because he had a license and he had a property right in the license. I mean, there's little tricky details to making sure that your case is something that can stand. I would think that you'd be better off finding a whole lot of people are in your situation and finding somebody there that would really be the one that would be the case, the perfect case to really carry the cause.
A few of us that I'm familiar with and have associated myself with who are federally convicted felons from long ago, who haven't broken any laws or done anything wrong since, who have lived respectable and honorable lives since, and tried to make amends for the former, at least construed, transgressions, and yet we're still barred for life, excluding presidential pardon.
Okay, now you realize that there is the Constitution enables the president to grant pardons, okay? There is a political mechanism, I think, that would happen. I would think there ought to be something that would be even a bureau or, you know, look at this, I want to have bureaucracy. You don't want to have bureaucracy, but wouldn't it be something to where either Congress could create a mechanism for the president to have a commission that would review situations? Do they have that?
Congress did. They created in 1986 with the Firearms Owners Protection Act, in the process of reducing my statute down to making it applicable to all persons and reducing the mens rea or criminal intent threshold down to what they call reasonable cause to believe. They also simultaneously created a commission, an administrative hearing board within the ATF under Chapter 925 of 18 U.S. Code, so that there was an administrative hearing process, so that every federally convicted felon had an avenue of redress with the ATF where they could hear, if necessary, time and time and time again, your story, and eventually restore your civil rights.